Hey, we're back here on Downtown on this Thursday afternoon. Up next on the program, we want to talk about how you can communicate about what's going on effectively with the young people in your life. We're joined on the phone line by Nancy Snowdeal. She is a school counselor at Brewer Community School. Nancy, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And be up front, Nancy and I are, I don't want to say old friends, I don't want to age us, longtime friends.
I think that still ages us a little bit.
I think it does, yeah, absolutely. How was it at your school today? Was it a tough day?
It was a tough day. It was, and it's a variety of needs. We have a very large school with kids from ages 4 to 15, so the response probably is a little more challenging. And honestly, I think the adults were struggling more than most of the children. So it was a hard day, but we made it through it, and we had a lot of tough conversations.
Well, let's talk about how to have conversations with your kids, and obviously it depends on the age, but it seems to me that this applies whatever the age of the young people in your home. You've got to get your own emotions and concerns under control before you begin to talk with kids.
Well, I think that's true regardless in a situation like this, and there's still so much left unresolved that it's hard to, you know, it's hard to feel great about the situation, how it's played out, because we still don't know how it's going to finish. But you're right. Obviously, you spoke earlier before the break about access to social media, and we can't keep our kids from this information the way we might have been able to in the past. So obviously that would be our biggest recommendation, is to limit what kids have access to, and to maybe not have the news constantly running in your own living room. I think for a lot of kids of this generation, this is one of those kind of like watershed moments where they realize the world is not what they thought it was. Kids who are kind of maybe before middle school or whatever, the bad guy is kind of an abstract, but now it's like real, and it makes the world unsafe. And the older kids who are experience this as like they now understand that safety is not guaranteed, where it may have felt that way when they were younger.
Yeah.
And that parents can keep them safe, or teachers can keep them safe. And as they get older and they see these things continue to happen, they realize that that is not a guarantee.
Well, let's talk about some of the age groups and how we would approach them. And for like preschool kids, early elementary kids, I imagine you want to keep that message fairly simple.
Very simple. I think you give them very, and limited too. You don't want to share the details. You certainly don't want to share the details of something like this with little ones. And I don't know how you do that as a parent anymore. Like, I used to think I could handle anything, and then these things happen. I think you tell them that, you know, something has happened, something terrible has happened. There was a shooting, maybe even depending on the age of your child, but that the adults are taking care of it to the best of their ability. I think with little ones especially, there needs to be a lot of reassurance and a lot of support around the idea of, we're still going to keep you safe.
Right.
And they'll still believe that, and we still can provide that for them. And we do that at school, and we do that at home. So those little ones, I think, straight basic facts without a lot of attention to the details. They don't need to know how many people have died or how they died or any of that. But they do need, you know, kids will talk about it in the school, and they'll hear things, and they'll want to know what's true and what's not true. And I think that's up to us to make sure we're being honest with them.
We're talking with Nancy Snowdeal from a Brewer Community School. Now, when you get to the upper elementary kids, the early middle schoolers, that's, as you know all too well, that's a time where they ask a whole lot of questions, and you need to be ready for whatever they might throw your way.
Absolutely. And those questions range from, you know, did they catch the bad guy, to what does this mean now? What does this mean to my life? And I think that's the challenge, is the range in a school setting of developmental stages, maturity, understanding in the world. So we, you know, I talked with a young lady today about really understanding what the process is going to be now. How will law enforcement continue to investigate this and search this? She thought at bedtime everybody went home and went to bed, and this guy would be, you know, on doing what he's doing, and everybody else will be kind of getting on with their lives. And she was very unsettled by that. And then other kids, they just want to know if they're safe and if they're going to feel safe again. And it's a hard thing, because we know as adults that we cannot guarantee this, but we can do all kinds of things to make them feel safe. We can support their emotional needs. We can communicate. We can, you know, all the protocols and procedures we have in place for them at school.
Now, you know high schoolers pretty well. You got a couple in your own household there. But I think sometimes we sort of take for granted that they know how to process these things, but they need help with it too.
They really do. And I think what is another challenge there is that having constant access to the world in their hand, they don't have accurate information.
Mm.
And so talking about things that they heard from their cousin's brother, or you know, my friend's sister down in, you know, wherever, told me that he's heading this way. Well, that's one of the issues, is we have to really make sure that we are clarifying any misinformation or any misconceptions about what's happening, so that there's clear, so we know what we're talking about. And the other part is kids that are starting to figure out their own identity in the world and their own belief system are starting, and their values are starting to really connect with the bigger picture of what this means. Issues around gun safety, issues around Second Amendment, issues around law enforcement. They start to make all those big connections, which then weighs them down even more. So we take it for granted, because they can certainly advocate for themselves when they need to, but then this gets really, really heavy really fast. And kids, adults, we don't have experience dealing with issues on this scale. To a point where we can be healthy processing through them on our own. I mean, even adults, we have to talk with other people.
Now, our schools were in session around here. You certainly understand the schools down in Southern Maine not having sessions today for safety concerns. But how important is it to maintain as much of your regular routine as you can? How does that help kids deal with all of this?
Well, I think it reassures kids that life's going on the way they expect it to and the way they predict it to, and that adds to a level of safety. They feel very much reassured by their routine, that it's that they know that I'm stumbling here a little bit. They rely heavily on that for that structure, that routine. It adds to their confidence that things are okay. And even though they know something bad has happened somewhere else, they can still move forward throughout their day, you know, get the help they need throughout the day at school, especially. And then the next day will come, and it will get easier each day. So I think the routine for all ages and adults too, it also can serve as a distraction, and so that you're not wrapped up in the details of what's happening and the rumors and the conjecture. I think it helps to focus on the day-to-day tasks to keep your mind busy. And that helps a lot with managing anxiety and stress.
I was unsure what to do today after school. My son walks home. It's not far away. But I thought, geez, should I go and pick him up today? Or is that going to raise the anxiety level? You know, do I ask him if he wants a ride home? And we just decided to let him do what he did. And I, you know, nothing felt better at the end of a pretty challenging day than to see him come around the corner with a buddy, smiling and laughing like you do when you're 9 years old.
Right. And I think that's, if we can keep things as normal as possible for as many people as possible, number one, it's going to help the people who are struggling navigate through this, but it's also going to, then, you know, it's going to, we're not increasing the level of anxiety our kids are carrying around. I think one of the challenges today, a mom coming in today, I could tell was very unsettled. And I met her at the door, and she watched her child walk all the way in through two sets of doors and watched the door shut behind her before she turned around. And we made eye contact, and I said, "Are you doing okay?" And she just lost it and said, "I've been holding it together all day for my daughter because I want her to be okay." And so the parents were afraid today dropping their kids off because you're entrusting the world to be safe, yeah. and we know it's not.
Yeah, absolutely. How important, Nancy, is it to keep monitoring your kids, because they're all impacted different ways, and they're not all on the same timeline either?
Well, exactly. And I think we've been talking for, at least since the pandemic, if not before, about how significant the increase in anxiety in our kids has been over the last probably 5 to 10 years. And they don't all show that the same way. And so I think in a situation like this, we really have to pay attention to how our kids are acting, if there's changes in their sleeping habits, in their eating habits, if they're having a harder time separating from you as a parent, if the social anxiety starts to increase. All of those are signs of difficulty. And it might be just a normal expected reaction to a really stressful event, but it also could tumble into an anxiety issue or a depression. And we really want to try to get ahead of that if we can. If we start to see those signs, we want to jump in as soon as we can to support these kids, because if we let it go too long, it becomes that much more difficult to manage.
Well, I know schools are providing all kinds of resources, and counselors are there to help kids at any point during the course of the day. What are some additional resources that parents can lean on?
Oh, my gosh, there's so many. And I know in our district we've shared them out with parents, but we certainly have, for some great information about how to talk to kids, there has been information released by NAMI, so the National Alliance of Mental Illness, specifically the main chapter. There is we live in the information age, and there's so much. Some great information comes from the National Association of School Psychologists. But locally, if you're needing help, I would certainly recommend reaching out to your school counselor or your school to get you in touch with a counselor. We are fortunate in our district to have a ton of resources helping us out. I think schools can be a great starting point for people to connect to resources. Mm.
Nancy Snowdeal, Brewer Community School. Nancy, great information. Thank you so much for all the wonderful work you're doing to help our kids process all of this, for coming on with us this afternoon. Take care of yourself, okay?
Thank you. You do as well.
All right. Bye-bye now. Nancy Snowdeal, Brewer Community School, with us here on Downtown.